Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. It's almost that time of year again, and for those of you who celebrate Christmas, we have a warm and wonderful suggestion for your Christmas gift giving. It's a book just published by Thomas Nelson out of Nashville. It's called A Victorian Christmas by Lucinda Cockrell, who is with the Center for Popular Music here at MTSU. And accompanying the book is a CD featuring mandolin music of some of your favorite traditional carols performed by Butch Baldessari and an assemblage of musicians. And it is our pleasure to welcome via telephone from Lincoln, Vermont, which sounds like a very good place to spend a snowy Victorian-style Christmas by the fire, Lucinda Cockrell. Thanks for being with us, Lucinda.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling 1,200, 1,400 miles away here in 18 inches of snow. So it is very Christmassy here.
The subtitle of your book is Sentiments and Sounds of a Bygone Era. Let's start with the sentiments first before we get to the CD that accompanies the book, and we might just play a few brief selections from it throughout the course of the show. This is a very beautifully put together book. There is nothing whatsoever contemporary about it, as befits the title, in font, in style, in color. And this combines a couple of loves of yours, music, obviously, and we will get to the CD, as I promised, but also you have a collection of Christmas cards, and you have a collection of Victorian greeting cards that plays very nicely into this. This is sort of combining two different loves of yours in the same project, I take it.
That's right, and I'll sort of give you a brief description of how this came about, because it's sort of a two loves of mine, as you said. I've always liked postcards, basically. The penny postcards from the Victorian era, starting about 1880 and going on up, the golden age of postcards, about 1889 through 1918. And, of course, along with that comes the Christmas cards. So I have a vintage Christmas card, greeting card collection. And Butch Baldessari is a friend of mine. Actually, this all was my husband, Dale Cockrell's, idea to begin with. Dale is a professor at Vanderbilt University, and Butch Baldessari teaches at the Blair School also. And Butch had this CD of, he had put together this CD of Christmas music, he and then a band of string musicians also. And Dale said, you know, all these nice Christmas carols, these Victorian Christmas songs, and it just reminds me of Lucinda's vintage greeting cards. And why don't you put the two together? So actually, Butch is the one that pitched it to Thomas Nelson, and at first they just didn't think much of it. And then he pitched it again, and there was a new editor, and that person took it up, and it just kind of went. And like you said, it is, you know, you can talk about the book, but really to see it, anybody that sees it, they start getting real excited about it because it is so pretty. And like you said, it certainly has that Victorian flavor in it with all the different fonts and the sort of the drippy and the, you know, all of the holly and the ivy and the Santas and the children. And then the prose. So what I was to do was, they took about 75 of my vintage greeting cards, and they range anywhere from like 1880 to, as I think the latest is 1916. And they took elements of those postcards and put designs together. Some of the greetings in poems, prose, stories in the books came from postcards, but not all of them. So I was to research a collection of these kinds of sentiments and sayings, And in order to do that, I went to, of course, I work at the Center for Popular Music, so I use some of the books there, and some of them are song lyrics. But what I wanted to do was to show what people in the Victorian era would have been reading at Christmas, and maybe some of the things that we don't think about so much, like, you know, Dickens and the Christmas Carol and that kind of thing. Everybody knows. But I did some research into what was the common person, what were they reading at Christmas time. And so what I came up with was several books, but then also a lot of journals, magazines, primary sources. And so throughout the book are little sayings and poems, as I said, from such places as Harper's New Monthly Magazine and The Living Age Magazine, Scribner's Magazine, The Century. So a lot of, there's quite a few from periodicals of the time. And then as well as certain books and pantomimes that were so popular during the Victorian era, stories that people would have been reading at the time. And then all this got put together with this wonderful CD in the back of Butch's Victorian, all of them, would have been around in the Victorian era. And, of course, the Victorian era, too, is when our whole modern Christmas customs and so forth really solidify. Either they don't begin, but they, a lot of times, but in they, we become more, or they become more oriented in the whole Victorian era. So it all kind of came together, and it was published in September. It came out. So we're real excited, and it's fun. It's been a lot of fun.
When you talk about customs, are you talking about things like stockings hung from the mantelpiece and the Yule log and holly wreaths and things of that nature?
Yes, you know, all that, so much of it. Well, the Christmas tree, you know, Queen Victoria and Albert were the one. Well, of course, it's a German descendant, but they really started popularizing it. And then in 1843, you know, Dickens came out with the Christmas Carol. And the very first Christmas card was made, believe it or not, in 1843. Do you want to know about a real brief history? It's kind of fun.
Okay, go ahead.
The first commercially produced Christmas card was 1843. We think it's a modern, you know, but it's a Victorian era thing. This man named Henry Cole of Bath, England, actually, and I'm an archivist and coordinator at the Center for Popular Music, and Mr. Cole worked in the public records office. So he was an archivist at heart, too. And he was a very busy man, like modern-day men today, or modern-day people are, and he did not have time to write. His Christmas letters is what people usually did, was they wrote and hand-delivered Christmas letters to people. So he went to a friend of his, who was a very prominent artist at the time. His name was John Horsley, and he said, "Listen, would you design me this card?" With and so Horsley put together some different illustrations, and the one that Cole chose was a card of shows about 11 people from three generations enjoying this family party, and they're toasting the health of an absent friend, and that friend is presumably the person that you give the card to. It's sort of a triptych thing, though. It has three different parts to it, and the two parts on the side are drawings of the poor and needy, and clothing the people that don't have clothes. So it's sort of that whole, here we go, it's this year 1843 and Dickens, and it's the Christmas Carol and a lot of stuff all put together. Anyway, guess what was printed on the card was Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's part of what I wanted to show in the sentiments part of the book, too, was there's a lot of things in there that we think of as being sort of a modern day concept, but it's really all right there. There's, and what I tried to show in the sentiments part too you know, was to give some things that were humorous, but some things that were religious, but to also kind of give an all-around, you know, religious, humorous, nostalgic, but all contemporaneous to the Victorian era. So some things are real quaint, the way they say things are real quaint, and they're very strange to our ears, but then other elements of it are spot on. Who we are today is who we were then, type of thing.
Let me read one item in here, just a brief item that captures the mood or the tenor of the times. Peace and goodwill, forgetfulness of wrong, are attributes to Christmas that belong. Heap high the fire and make us royal crown. It is our pleasure here to sit us down. Who cares how deeply now the snowflakes fall? Let rosemary and bays bedeck the wall. The formality of the prose, which is found throughout the book and apparently is characteristic of the era, sets a certain tempo. It almost forces you to slow down, take stock, don't rush about and bustle about. It's snowing outside anyway. You know, there's nothing you can do. This is before radio. This is before television. This is before the kind of hectic multitasking that has come to be associated with the 21st century. Everything about it says slow down and think and savor what the season is all about. You were talking about humor, though, and I was surprised to find a couple of things in here that referred to the expense of Christmas time.
Yes.
I mean, this was an absolute hoot. I mean, there's more than one of these that refers to the cost of Christmas. Here's the Pauper's Christmas Carol. Christmas comes but once a year. Bright and blessed is the time. Sorrows end and joys begin while the bells with merry chime. Ring the day of plenty in, but the happy tide to hail with a sigh or with a tear. Hey ho, I hardly know. Christmas comes but once a year. And there's one about bills that I've just, here we go. Oh, the bills, Christmas bills, what a world of misery their memory instills. As the merchants with their quills stuck behind their ears polite, so caressingly invite your kind and prompt attention to their bills. How they done as they kindly urge upon your earnest attention their blessed little bills. Who said that they lacked a sense of humor in the Victorian
exactly.
era?
And that's 1855, so... You know, we again, people were, and as I said, I was trying to really come up with, you know, magazines and things that were circulated the most and that I knew the most people were reading across America. So, I mean, obviously this is, you know, portraying what people are thinking about at the time. So, yes, even in 1855, and that's before the Civil War, of course, there was a problem with having enough money to purchase your Christmas gifts. And maybe end of the year bills also, not just Christmas alone, but just talking about the need for money. So, I'm glad you picked that one because that's exactly some of the things that are so common to us today. And there's another one in there called A Christmas Croak that's supposed to be put to the music of O Rest You Merry Gentlemen. You know how today people put words. In fact, I was reading a little snippet from the Reader's Digest of this month, and they've done the same thing. They've put, you know, new words to Christmas music, talking about the economy being in such trouble. So, you know, people were doing that, and this one, this A Christmas Croak, is 1852, and it says, "O rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, but be prepared to meet the woes that come with Christmas Day. Look out, your winter clothes to face the season's ills, and muster cash and fortitude to meet those Christmas bills. And 'tis tidings of comfort and joy." So I can't sing. So I like music, but I can't sing, so I won't sing it for you. But there you have it.
Well, we do have music, so this seems like a perfect time to sprinkle a little Brian Baldessari on this eggnog here and play one of the little items or a piece of the CD. Let's see here. Thank you. That's Joy to the World, of course. And Brian is joined by several other musicians whose names are all listed in the back of the book. There are 12 different cuts, and these are all traditional items, Deck the Halls, We Wish You Merry Christmas, and so forth. Was it your idea or the publisher's to include a CD as part of the entire book package?
It was my idea. Actually, as I said, it was my husband's idea to put the two together, and Butch had already had the rights and had the CD already put together. So it was just a matter of sort of combining the two.
You mean these are not all public?
Butch has it. He's done it in his, they're, you know, some of them have a more of a country flavor to it. Some of them are more traditional, but it's, Butch is the mandolin player, but is overarching in all of them. But, you know, there's other bass, a dobro, I think, some percussion. So
you mean these are not all public domain? You actually had to get the rights to some of these? I would have thought that all of these would have been in the public domain, but I guess
not.
Right.
All of these are public domain.
Okay.
That's right. And, you know, some of them have been around, or as so many carols are, from folk times. Others have interesting. I kind of, you know, halfway wanted to put some kind of history of the songs in there, just being so history oriented. But Thomas Nelson wanted to keep it as the sentiments and sounds, which turned out very nice. I think, you know, this is not a real academic book. Obviously, it is a gift book. So, you know, I kept wanting to put. I always think everybody needs. I'm always so interested in the origins of things and music and songs and why things began as they did. So I always want to put that in there. But there, it is a nice book that's real pretty. And you know, the publishers were saying, well, you know, we'd like to think that people are getting a really good value, which they are. I think it retails for $14.99. So to get a full-length CD with that beautiful, you know, 70-page book with its full color and so forth is a nice value for this day and time.
Would Victorian-era families be listening to these carols as played on the mandolin? Would that have been the instrument of choice?
Oh, I don't think during the Victorian era. Well, I don't really know a lot about the history of mandolin playing, but certainly they would have been listening to it being sung more than an instrumental, more than likely. And, you know, music was so ubiquitous during that time. And for us, with recorded sound, it's hard for us to imagine that it was with them in the home and on the streets and in the tavern or in the store, whatever. So more than likely they would have sung it themselves in a, you know, family setting.
Let's hear another one of the cuts from the CD. This is a little bit of Angels We Have Heard on High. Very, very pretty. When you put the music together with the words in the book, you've set a real mood, haven't you? I mean, all you need is something like the smell of food cooking, or a candle, or the aroma of the holly. And, you know, if your book were a scratch and sniff book, then it would probably combine all of the elements
yes,
that
well,
you need.
I did get someone emailed me and said that, you know, they were using the book, listening to the CD while, you know, they cooked baked cookies with their children and talked about some of the sayings in the book. So, yeah, I think that's a good idea, I thought. And the illustrations in there, too, are, you know, family and home, and it's real cozy, and I think it then brings all those kinds of scents to you, the sentiments. No pun intended.
The way the book is designed, it's not a pop-up book. It's definitely not a pop-up book, but there are places within the book where one can lift up a card, so to speak, and look and see the message underneath it on the printed page, almost as though one were opening a real Christmas card. There are two or three places like that in the book. Was that something of, was that an idea that you came up with?
Well, yes. I thought it would be nice to have some of those elements, which were very popular during the Victorian era. And so in the very front of the book, there's a little envelope that has a little card in it that says to and from. And, you know, Victorian calling cards were really the forerunners of any kind of card that you just, people would, you know, have their names printed on and then hand it to someone when you went to visit. So that's sort of reminiscent of that. And then there are two or three times, I think, they reproduced exactly what the Christmas greeting card looked like, and then you can open the flap and read a verse. So that was something definitely that was very popular during the Victorian era. I just didn't know about cost and if that could be incorporated in there, but it is two or three times, so that was sort of nice. And I started wondering whether or not gift books were anything that people of the period knew about, or if that was a modern invention or what. And to my great surprise, while doing some research for the poetry and prose and the sentiments inside the book, I came across this 1849 verse or writing in the North American Review, and it says, "Pretty gift books are in demand at this season as presents for Christmas and the New Year. Volumes of poetry are quite as suitable as splendid fans, lacquered boxes, and bronze ornaments are to be given away. It is rather humiliating for the pride of literature that books should come into demand chiefly as ornaments or for the center table, where they are to be looked at and not read. But we are thankful for the growth of any taste in the community which operates, however indirectly, for the encouragement of letters." So I thought that was sort of fun to find that gift books were out there, and they were all the rage. So even the format of the book itself is something that would have been indicative of the Victorian era. Of course, not the CD in the back, but it certainly would have been, music would have been a part of the whole experience.
And lest the consumer think that this is a humongous coffee table book that is a hernia waiting to happen,
no.
I'm holding it in my hands right now. It is very petite and quite manageable and not at all heavy. Let me go on to a couple of items here, because many of the items in the book are secular, but some are sacred as well. "Let music break on this blessed morn and sweetly echo back to heaven, for lo, the promised son is born, the long-expected one is given." And then on the opposite page from that item, "O'er hill and dell the Christmas bell is ringing far and wide. Let all rejoice with cheerful voice and peace on earth abide. For Christ is born this happy morn. Hark, hark, the angels sing. Goodwill and love from heaven above to all mankind they bring." So lest you think that this is all about holly and presents and good smells and warming your toes by the fire, there are mentions made of the reason for the season in the book as well.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I did try to, as I said, I tried to put a good balance of, like we said, humor and some religious, and this is something that, as I again, when trying to find out what 100 to 150 years ago people were reading at Christmas time, it really is the case that they were reading these periodicals that I was talking about, Christmas stories, classics such as The Pilgrim's Progress, that kind of thing, and pantomimes. They loved reading pantomimes, fairy tales, ghost tales. That's where the whole Christmas carol thing comes in. Poetry and songs, and lots of religious texts. So it's certainly something that they had little, even children had. In 1887, there was this, I think it was called a Christmas morality for children. And even in 1830, so I'm getting back to early, really a little bit earlier than Victorian, but there was The Right Way of Rejoicing at Christmas, so that was printed. So I think they were even worried about commercialization of Christmas at that early time frame and trying to sort of bring it all into perspective. But that's right. I did try to put some ideas about why Christmas is Christmas in there too, and what they would have been reading from it. So, and of course, bells are all through there. Victorian era, they loved birds. There's lots of birds and children, you know, animals, Christmas trees, of course, and Santa's in there. Father Christmas or Santa Claus is there some, and some about children.
And even one New Year's greeting picture.
Yes, I have, as I said, I have this huge, I love all these postcards from the, you know, turn of the century and earlier, turn of the last century now, we have to say, and earlier. And lots of New Year cards were popular, very much so, yes. So I handed the editor notebooks of greeting cards, Christmas cards. But then also I said, well, here's a notebook that's got all kinds of New Year's cards, and you might want to put one in there. It's funny how the things that they picked, that they chose, you know, to use. So, yes, New Year's cards were very popular, and a lot of times, you know, with the dates on there, 1906 or 1900 on the front of the card. So I'm glad they did include one anyway. It's at the very end, right, somewhere.
Yeah, it's close to the end.
Yeah.
And so are we. So we just have time enough to say it's called A Victorian Christmas, Sentiments and Sounds of a Bygone Era by Lucinda Cockrell of MTSU's Center for Popular Music, with the CD in the back featuring mandolin music of some of your all-time classic favorite Christmas carols as performed by Butch Baldessari and Friends, published by Thomas Nelson and available now at your favorite bookstore and also on Amazon.com. Lucinda, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, same to you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Be sure and join us again at this same time next Sunday. And we're also available to you at your leisure at mtsunews.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes. Happy holidays.